California, we bring you Chapter 25 in the story of Paul Christian, the Doctor of River's End, with Gene Herschel starred in the role of the Good Doctor, and presented for your enjoyment by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline. Gene Herschel has a special announcement to make this afternoon, so be sure to wait for it at the end of this program. Among the products that make these Dr. Christian's programs possible, there are several specialties beside the familiar Vaseline Petroleum Jelly and Vaseline Hair Tonic. Marjorie Lane, one of the most popular members of the younger married set, and mother, by the way, of the handsome Lane twins, is going to tell you something about her favorite. All right, Marjorie?
If there's a baby in your family, and you're not already acquainted with Vaseline Borated Jelly, it's high time you learned about it. As the name implies, it's a combination of Vaseline white jelly with boric acid. It's especially prepared for baby use. I've used it on the twins since they were born. My experience with it certainly shows that you can keep a child's skin completely free of chafing if you use Vaseline borated jelly regularly. I like the neat blue and white tube it comes in. It looks so clean and sanitary, the way you want a baby's things to look. And I have complete confidence in it.
As you can have in any product bearing the Vaseline label.
And best of all, Vaseline borated jelly is only 20 cents a tube. It's not much when you consider the importance of giving your children the best possible start in life.
You're not a bit partial to those twins, are you, Marjorie?
Oh, I wouldn't be for telling. Well, thanks a million, Art, for letting me testify. I mean every word of it. And I hope all the young mothers listening will follow my advice and get a tube of Vaseline borated jelly right away.
And now for today's story of Dr. Christian. It begins in Roy Davis Drugstore. Judy Price, Dr. Christian's secretary, has just entered.
Is Dr. Christian's medicine ready, Roy?
Oh, hello, Judy. Yes, I've just finished making some up. Oh, excuse me a second while I answer that. Davis Drugstore. Speaking. Oh, yes, Bob. What? No. Oh, you're not serious. Well, say, I'd like to, but I don't see how I can leave the store right now. Sure. You say you can absolutely vouch for his sanity? What's the name? Perino. Oh, sure, I'll listen. Yeah, send him over. Yeah. All right. Goodbye. Judy, stick around, will you? There's a man on his way over here who wants to give away $100,000.
Heard of, Mr. Perino?
Boy, will this put River's End on the map.
Yes, yes.
Go back to the beginning and tell me.
How in the world you happen to choose River's End?
Well, and don't leave out a thing.
Well, to make it as brief as I can, it happened in Chicago about 19 years ago in front of a small jewelry store, late 20s.
Ain't that guy never going to close up the store and go home?
Oh, what are we waiting for? We can do it right now.
How do you mean, do it right now? I'll be showing while he's still in the store.
Sure, we can leave a brick through the window glass, each guy grab what he can get, and duck.
Say, that ain't a bad idea.
Oh, come on, let's beat it. We ain't got a chance.
Sure, we got a chance. There ain't many people around. We can do it in a second. What do you say, Red?
Well, it's okay with me if it's okay with the rest of you guys.
I don't think it's a good idea.
All right, now look. No use all of us doing the grabbing. We just get in each other's way. Me and Jimmy will do that because we can run faster.
Oh, yeah? Where do I come in?
We're going to whack up, ain't we, Even Steven?
It better be Even Steven.
All right, you get a rock and get ready to heave it through the window. Slim, you get out the corner and keep an eye out for cops. Joe, you take the other corner.
Oh, I don't want to get in it, Rand.
Listen, Joe, you'll do what I tell you, see?
Well, okay.
And as soon as they whistle back, you heave the rock. Jimmy and me will make a grab and then we'll all scatter, see? Run in different directions. Okay, Slim, you and Joe get going.
Here, bud. What are you hanging around this corner for?
Oh, nothing.
Well, keep moving.
I'm waiting for a guy who's going to meet me here.
Never mind. You heard me. Keep moving.
Red! Bad, look out! There's a cop! Beat it! There's a cop! Beat it!
Hold on there. Hold on there. Stop. Stop, I tell you. Stop or I'll shoot!
a doctor, ain't you?
Why, yes. Yes, I'm a doctor.
I had a little accident. I hurt my leg.
Oh. Oh, yes, I see. Sit down here.
I was riding a motorcycle, and I put my foot down when I stopped, and I jammed my leg against a sharp corner on the curb.
Here, I think it'll be better if you rest your foot on this chair. That's it.
It's bleeding quite a lot, ain't it?
Yes. Now, just a minute.
I guess it ain't nothing serious, though, is it?
It's in the fleshy part of your leg, just below the calf. It isn't serious in itself, but... You say you hurt yourself riding a motorcycle?
Yeah. Oh, that kind of hurts.
Are you certain about that motorcycle?
Why, sure.
Well, this looks to me like a bullet wound.
I was riding a motorcycle and ran into a sharp corner on the curb.
And it didn't even tear your trouser leg. Just made a neat little round hole in it. How did that happen?
Oh, never mind. Go ahead and fix it up. Well, yes, so it'll stop bleeding.
And that sharp corner on the curb bored right through your leg and came out on the other side. What's your name?
What's the difference?
You're pretty tough, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm tough.
Oh, maybe you're a gangster, huh?
Hey, what makes you think that?
Oh, I don't know. Hold your leg still now.
Well, I am a gangster. So if you know what's good for you, you better keep your mouth shut about this. Who's that?
How do I know?
Are you going to let him in?
It'll look funny if I don't. The lights are on. They know I'm here.
Yeah, that's right, ain't it?
Here, what are you going to do?
I'm going to hide behind that screen. Whoever it is, you get rid of them as fast as you can, see?
Be careful.
I'm okay. If they ask you about a guy who's been shot, you don't know nothing about it, see? You got that?
Yes, I think I've got it.
Well, you better be sure. I've got a gang behind me, a whole gang. And if anything happens to me, it'll be just too bad for you. You know what I mean?
I understand perfectly.
All right. Let him in.
That are you, Dr. Christian?
Yes.
Come on, Carlton. I'm the cop on the beat. This is Henry Carlson. Runs a jewelry store in the next block.
Yes, and some tough kids just robbed me. They threw a rock through my show window and took a watch. I saw them hanging around in front of the store, and I was afraid to close up because
all right, all right, Carlson. Just a minute. I stopped one of them on the corner. Made a break. I shot him in the leg. He was bleeding pretty bad, so he couldn't have gone far. And checking up on me. All the doctor's offices here in this neighborhood.
Oh, I see.
You know anything about it?
Why, yes. I think the boy you're looking for is behind that screen.
Huh? Well,
oh, that's him. That's one of them. I remember seeing him in front of my store.
You're crazy. I wasn't near no jewelry store.
Yeah, you're the same kid I saw on the corner.
I'm not. You got the wrong guy. I was riding my motorcycle and hurt my leg. The doc here will tell you. I hurt my leg riding a motorcycle.
Doc, what's the matter with his leg?
He's been shot.
You sneaking double-crosser. You'll be sorry you squealed on me. The gang will get you for this. They'll get you plenty.
Shut up. Come on.
They'll bump you off. That's what they'll do. You hear me? They'll bump you off.
Good morning.
You're Dr. Christian, huh?
That's right.
I want to have a little talk with you.
All right. What is it?
Why you turn my boy over to the police?
Your boy? Why don't you know what you mean?
Sure you don't know what I mean. Last night he not to come home. All the night. This morning the police, they telephoned me. They say my boy is in a jail.
Oh. Oh, yes, I...
Sure, and they say you send him there.
Oh, but that isn't true. He came in my office, and while he was here, the police arrested him.
But why they arrested my boy? That's what I want to know.
Well, didn't the police tell you?
Well, they told me a big story. I'm no understand. But I'm understand this much. You give my boy to the police.
No, no. Your boy came here for treatment.
What do you mean?
He was hurt. He was shot.
Shot? He's a shot? My boy?
He isn't hurt badly. Sit down, won't you?
Oh, but this... This I'm not understand. What for they shoot to my boy?
Well, I don't know all the details. It seems some boys robbed the jeweler's store, and he was with them.
Oh, no, no, that's wrong. My boy, he's a good boy. Maybe you run around with bad boys, but that's my fault. I'm not watch him like I should. You see, when he's just a little fellow, he's a mama, she die. Me, I'm a work all the day, and he's a playing the streets with bad boys. But he's not the bad. He's not the robber no store.
I only know what the policeman told me.
What do they do with him now?
Well, they might send him to a farm school.
No, they cannot do that. You tell him he's not steal. You tell him it's all a big mistake.
But I haven't anything to do with it.
Well, you give my boy to the police. You can get him back.
You don't understand. Your boy broke the law, and the law says he has to be punished. I can't get him back.
But you can talk to him. Please, doctor. You telling him Joe he's a good boy. They won't believe me, but you're the big doctor. They believe you. Please, you do that for me, will you?
It wouldn't do any good. I wouldn't even know whom to talk to.
You can't do that, huh?
No, there isn't a thing I can do.
I see. Well, I guess I'm a go now.
Information, please. I want to talk to the district police station.
Young man, have you anything to say before this court pronounces sentence?
I ain't got nothing to say. Go ahead. I guess I can take it.
Young man, I don't like your attitude. This exhibition of bravado you put on. There's nothing courageous about you. On the contrary, you're a coward. You have to seek the protection of a gang. You let that gang bully you into doing what you knew was wrong. That's not bravery. Were you born in this country?
No, sir.
But you came here. You came to a land where you've had every opportunity to make something of yourself. An equal chance with every other boy. And the best you've been able to do is to throw in with a gang of hoodlums and live by breaking the law. Sentenced for 3 years in the State House of Correction.
Your Honor, may I make a suggestion?
Give His Honor your name.
Dr. Paul Christian.
Oh, yes, Dr. Christian. Why, let's see, you're the doctor who was a state's witness in this case.
Yes, sir. I've just recently opened my office in this neighborhood.
And what is this suggestion, Dr. Christian?
Well, Your Honor, I don't know anything about law, but I know something about boys, and, well, if Your Honor will let me, I'd like to take exception to something you just said.
Oh, indeed. What?
Well, now, in the first place, about gangs. A boy doesn't join a gang because he's a hoodlum or a coward. Belonging to a gang is something which just naturally goes with being a boy. I'll bet you belong to a gang yourself.
Aye?
Well, maybe you didn't call it a gang, but it was an athletic club or Boy Scouts or maybe just a group of fellows you liked.
Oh.
Every boy wants companionship. And maybe this gang was the only companionship you could find.
Well, you present your argument very well, Dr. Christian. But I think I know this kind of youngster better than you do. He's no good. You can't do anything for him.
If you took that viewpoint in the practice of medicine, there'd be a lot of people die who might have been saved.
Yes, that's true, of course, but...
Your Honor, well, I'm new in this locality. I'm not very busy. I'd like to take Joe and see what I can do with him.
You mean you would be responsible for his behavior?
Yes. I want to get him a job.
Well, aren't you undertaking quite a task?
Yes, I don't expect it to be easy. But if I can straighten him out, wouldn't it be worthwhile? Not only for him, but for society and for everyone.
If you could straighten him out, which I doubt, it would be very much worthwhile.
Then why don't you let me try?
Well, Dr. Christian, you're an optimist. Frankly, I don't believe you'll succeed. But the chance of gain is worth the risk. I will let you try. Sentence suspended. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Oh, hello, Dr. Christian.
Good morning, Mr. Carlson. Well, you have quite a nice little store here. How's business?
Can't complain. In fact, it's been pretty brisk. Can I show you something, Dr. Christian?
Well, no. No, I'm hardly in the market for jewelry. I was just wondering about that watch which was stolen. Did you ever get it back?
No. The kid they arrested wouldn't tell which one of the gang had it.
How much was that watch worth?
$40 wholesale. And it cost me $15 to get a new window put in. So I'm out $55 on account of that gang.
That's what I want to talk to you about. I have an idea how you can get that $55 back.
How?
Well, it's like this. I know a young man who's been trying to find a job. He hasn't had very much luck. He isn't so much interested in the money he'll make as he is in getting a start, learning a business.
That's right. He's got good sense. Most young fellows want to earn $1 million right away without any experience.
Yes, he has good sense. He's willing to work here for nothing to learn the business.
Well, I might be able to use an apprentice like that. But bring him in. I'll have a talk with him. But he must be an honest, reliable boy. Who is he?
The boy they arrested for robbing the store.
What? The boy who... What kind of foolishness are you talking about?
Now, wait a minute.
Don't you think I'm crazy? Give him a job here? A fellow who's robbed me? Give him another chance to rob me?
Wait. It isn't foolishness. And I don't think you're crazy. If I did, I wouldn't be talking to you.
I wouldn't have him here if I...
Now, don't get so excited. After you've helped him, he's not going to steal from you. He's one person you can absolutely trust.
Well, maybe. But I'm not going to take a chance.
I'm not asking you to take that chance. I'll take it.
How can you take it?
I've got about $1,000 worth of brand new equipment in my office. I'll go his bond. Of course, you needn't say anything about that to him.
You mean you trust that young...
Yes. Yes, I trust him. Look here. That boy grew up on the streets. He never had an opportunity to be anything but a hoodlum. I want to help him make something of himself. And you can help, too.
This is sure the funniest proposition I ever had put to me.
He isn't going to steal from you. He's... He does, he'll do it before the month's over. And he couldn't possibly get away with more than $1,000 worth of stuff. I'll stand good for it.
Well, send him in, and I'll see. I don't know why I'm letting you talk me into this. Maybe you don't think I'm crazy, but I certainly do.
That isn't all the story, is it?
Yes, that's just about all. Dr. Christian got the boy a job, spruced him up with a new suit and a new pair of shoes, and even gave him 15 cents to get a haircut.
15 cents for a haircut, eh?
Yes.
He would. He thinks of everything.
Oh, and the wretch skipped out and left Dr. Christian holding the bag.
No. No, he didn't. Because I am that boy.
We will continue our story of Dr. Christian in just a moment. You have often heard us say on this program, when you buy, look for the trademark Vaseline on the package. If you don't see it, you are not getting the genuine article. This statement is of the utmost importance to you and to us. The word Vaseline is a trademark, one of the most widely known trademarks in the world. Its appearance on the product you buy means that the article is produced in accordance with the most rigid standards. It means that the basic ingredients are of highest quality, that sanitary handling prevails throughout the entire plant. These things are a matter of pride with us. They should be a matter of self-protection with you. So when you buy, won't you be sure to look for the trademark Vaseline on the package? We return now to the story of Dr. Christian, which stars Jean Hersholt in the title role. The time is 3 days later, and the hour is early evening. Dr. Christian has received a hurry call to come to the schoolhouse. In the car with him is Judy Price.
Are you sure that call was from Ed Meadows, Judy?
Of course I'm sure. Don't you think I know Ed Meadows' voice? And he left word for you to come to the schoolhouse right away.
Oh, but there's nobody at the schoolhouse at this time of night. The kids are all home.
Well, there's someone there. Look at that. It's all lighted up. And look at all those cars parked around there.
Judy, there must have been a serious accident.
Oh, I'm afraid something terrific is about to happen.
Now, you'd better stay here in the car.
No, I'll go with you. Whatever it is, you'll need help.
All right, and bring those extra bandages.
All right.
Hello, Doc.
Roy, what's happened? What kind of an accident was it?
Yeah. Well, there isn't any accident, Doc.
Oh, but Ed Meadows phoned him. Oh, but if there's no accident, what are all the people here for? Why are they clapping?
We're clapping for you, Dr. Christian.
For me? I don't understand.
Just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Dr. Christian. Please, can we have a little quiet? Dr. Christian, come over here to the center of the platform. Now then, we're all gathered here tonight, Dr. Christian, to give you a little memory test.
Well, Roy, would you mind explaining the joke so I can laugh too?
This is no joke, Dr. Christian. This is the most serious moment of your life. Dr. Christian, do you remember this man?
Good evening, Dr. Christian.
Well, no, I don't. I'm sorry, but...
You haven't much of a memory, Dr. Christian. My name's Perino. Does that mean anything to you? Joe Perino.
Joe Perino? Not Joe Perino. Not Joe Perino in Carlson's jewelry store.
Well, not in Carlson's jewelry store anymore, Dr. Christian. But the same guy.
Well, how are you?
I'm just fine.
Why, my goodness, I can't believe it.
Well, it's true.
You're Joe Perino?
That's right, Dr. Christian.
Why, I know him when it was a boy in Chicago.
Yes, I know. We all know.
What are you doing here, Mr. Perino?
To tell the truth, I came here to make a speech.
Yep, that's right. Now, don't you slip away, Judy. You belong here, too. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you all know why we're here. So, with no further preliminaries, we'll turn the floor over to Mr. Joseph Perino.
Roy, I still don't understand what this is all about.
You will. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not much of a speaker. Mr. Davis put me up to this, so you'll have to blame him. I make better watches than I do speeches. I learned about watches from a very fine man in Chicago, a man named Carlson. When no one else would hire me, Dr. Christian got me a job in Carlson's store. After a while, Mr. Carlson retired, and I went into business for myself, making watches. I hope it doesn't sound like boasting, but... Well, I have been rather successful. And it's been on my mind to try and do something that would repay Dr. Christian for what he did for me. I inquired about him and found out he was practicing here, doing great work and loved by the entire community. I made guarded inquiries through medical circles to find out what was Dr. Christian's chief ambition in life. I found out. Well, it makes a dent in my pocketbook, but I want to do it. Dr. Christian, I'd like to donate $100,000 for a hospital here in River's End to be called the Paul Christian Hospital.
Judy, what are you crying about?
Mrs. Howard, look at him standing there with his doctor's kit still in his hand and the expression on his face.
The dream of his life come true.
Friends, quiet. I know I can call everyone in this room, Frank. I'm so overwhelmed that I can't hardly find the words to tell you what's in my heart. This magnificent gift of a hospital for Riversend comes to us at a time when we need it more sorely than ever before. Not because of the great benefit it's going to bring to our sick bodies, grateful as we are for that prospect, but because in a world full of people today who are saying, give it to me because I want it, this hospital is going to stand here in our town as a monument to the great truth, man is a spiritual animal. Man must have more than breath to eat and a comfortable place to live. Man must have work to do and
having work to do, he must do it well. And having done it well, he must pass on the fruits of his labors to the other fellow. And if there's anybody in this room who doubts the truth of what I'm telling you, let him look yonder at Joe Perino. There's a man.
Dr. Christian's lifelong dream of a fine modern hospital for River's End fulfilled at last, we take leave for the season of the doctor and the druggist and the doctor's secretary and all the other friends in our village. The summer season is at hand and vacation plans are well underway. What are you going to do this summer, Roy?
Stick pretty close to the store, I guess, and sell all the Vaseline products I can.
What a politic answer. Judy, what did you thought of doing?
Oh, I'm going to stick around the doctor's office and use all the Vaseline products I can.
Well, Dr. Christian, what will you do?
Go fishing?
That was Dr. Christian talking. Now we'd like to hear what Gene Hirschhold is going to do.
The one thing I'm looking forward to more than anything else this summer is my trip to Callander in Canada. Sometime in the latter part of May, I'm going up there to work in my third picture with the Quintupets. Those wonderful little girls, Yvonne, Annette, Emily, Cecile, and Marie. Five of a kind. And that, by the way, is the name of the new picture. Five of a kind. This 20th Century Fox feature is to be ready for release this coming fall, about the time when Dr. Christian will return to you. Oh, and that reminds me. I wonder which of the Dr. Christian stories we've given you this winter did you like best. I'd appreciate very much hearing from you. Please write me personally which was your favorite story and why. You see, in that way you can help us bring you the kind of radio entertainment you like best. Now in saying farewell, up again soon, which is our Danish way to say we'll be seeing you. I want to thank the supporting cast, Miss Rosemary the Camp, who plays Judy, Gail Gordon, who plays Roy Davis, the druggist, Arthur Gilmore, your handsome announcer, and all the others who have appeared in this show for all the fine performances they've given this winter. And as for our friends in New York, the board of directors of the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, I can truthfully say to those fine gentlemen that I have never enjoyed any assignment in my acting career more than I have enjoyed playing Dr. Christian for them.
If you care to write Mr. Hirschhold and tell him which were your favorites in this Dr. Christian series of stories, address your letters to Gene Hirschhold, Columbia Network, Hollywood, California. Gene Hirschhold, who appears on this program through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, will be back on the air next fall with more of the Dr. Christian stories presented by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company in the interest of Vaseline preparation. I Love to Whistle is from Mad About Music. This is Art Gilmore bidding you good afternoon. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.